Good morning. It's 8:38 Finger Lakes Morning News. We're being heard both on WGVA and WAUB. And joining us from Seneca County Cooperative Extension is Mo Tidball, the proprietor of the Wild Harvest Table blog at wildharvesttable.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted.
And thank you for graciously agreeing to switch time slots. I think I've done this to you before, haven't I?
It always seems to work out. It's no problem.
We had two people booked in the 8:15 slot, so Mo is here for the 8:38 slot. And let's just go back to the beginning for people that haven't heard us before and tell us how this blog came about and some of the reasons behind it.
Well, when I started as the nutrition resource educator for Seneca County Cornell Cooperative Extension, I recognized that a lot of people in this area hunt or fish, and sometimes that's a main source of their meat and protein. For some people, and then for other people, they weren't so keen on eating it. And it really comes down to how it's prepared. So I started a web resource, the Wild Harvest Table, with recipes and information on how to prepare the meat so that it's delicious, so that people who aren't sure if they like game meat can try it in these different ways and realize that it's actually quite delicious. And it's a very healthy, sustainable meat. Venison is very lean compared to even the leanest ground beef. And we're finding, too, that the wild duck and the wild goose is a lot leaner than the domesticated goose or duck, which is great research that's actually come out of this this programming that we started, the Wild Harvest Table.
That's what I was going to lead into, is that it's become a research project because when you started it, you realized that there wasn't a lot of information. There's no such thing as nutrition labeling for wild game, and just things like, you said earlier, why do some people not eat wild game? So you've used it also to sort of conduct some research into these questions.
Exactly. So for each recipe that I put up on the website, I have nutrition software, and I'm able to create a nutrition fact label for each recipe. And as I was doing that, I recognized that, wow, there's a lot of species that are missing from my software. And the software is based on the National Nutrient Database, which is a USDA creates it. So we actually applied for and received some Hatch funding through Cornell, and it's USDA funding, and we're able to collect various species that weren't included in the database and collect the meat and actually go through the whole protocol to have those added to the database. So before we did that work, you could not find nutrition information on brook trout, which is our New York State fish. You also couldn't find it on Canada goose, which is abundant in this area, or ruffed grouse. And so we now have that added into the National Nutrient Database, and you can go online and see how lean and healthy it is.
Have you been able to shed any light on the question of why some people avoid wild game?
That's still a tricky question. I think for some people, it's a mental issue. You know, they just don't think of it as food, or what we call the Bambi complex, that it's cute and they just can't eat it. It's not food. You know, to get past that is a little more challenging than someone who maybe just had a bad experience and needs to try it again and realize, oh, this is really great.
Right, and that's one of the things we've talked about in our past visits, is it comes down to the preparation. You can't cook. You can make terrific hamburger out of venison, but you can't cook it the way that you do ground beef that's 20% fat.
Exactly, and especially for steaks and things like that. If you just slap a venison steak on the grill and cook it well done, it's going to be tough. It's going to be not the best experience. So you have to use different tenderizing techniques to break down the connective tissues, whether it's acidic marinades that'll break down those tissues, or actually piercing it with a fork, or there's various devices that you can get that will do that as well. And just cooking it a little rarer, it makes it tender too.
Where are you finding the recipes? Do you go out and research, or do people submit some to you?
Every recipe on there I have tried, because I want to make sure that it works properly and that it is truly a tasty thing at the end. So a lot of them I have adapted, sometimes from recipes that people have given me, or you know, if something sounds good, I might look it up and adapt it from a classic beef dish into a venison dish. The latest recipe up there is pasties, which is a Upper Michigan treat that is often made with beef or with pork. So I transformed it to be with goose or venison, and it is a little bit drier, so I would suggest a gravy or something, or adding a little bit of butter To make it a little more moist.
So it's like a meat pie with a crust, with a pastry crust, right?
Right, right. And it's got lots of vegetables in there, so it's a nice thing to take if you're going out into the duck blind or into the deer stand. It's a nice sandwich type thing.
And one of the reasons that we're here today is because a number of fall seasons are going to be starting up. And one of the recent posts was what you can do if you still have leftover meat from last season. What are some things to do?
Right. So the most important thing is to get it out of your freezer. I mean, a lot of times people just kind of forget that things are stuck in various corners of the freezer. So put it in the defroster drawer so that you're kind of forced, like, oh, yeah, I got to eat this week. That's the most important thing, is get it out of the freezer. The other thing you could do is can it. Venison is excellent canned, and it really tenderizes it when you do it that way. And there is some information on that on the website. And just various crockpot creations are great for this time of year and things like that. There's a lot of good information on there.
Is there anything specific that you should do right when you shoot a deer, for example, or when you take a goose or a duck to make sure it'll be the best eating?
That's a great point. You know, food safety obviously starts immediately in the field, so you should have some gloves, or make sure that your hands are clean when you're working with cleaning your various game, and make sure that you clean it right away and cool it down as quickly as possible to avoid any food safety. Obviously, if somebody gets sick from eating wild game, that's a game changer. They're not going to want to try it so much again. So you want to make sure that you follow food safety in the field. And then you know, there's different philosophies on whether or not you should hang game birds to let them age or not, or same with the deer. But the key with that is really making sure that you have the proper temperature when you do that. So if it's a hot day, you don't want to have your deer hanging out
right
there, or game birds. So you want to make sure that if you have refrigerator temperature conditions, you can hang things to age them.
Now, one of the things that's coming up this weekend is a youth waterfowl hunting weekend. And you talked a lot about recipes involving goose or duck.
It's a great way to get kids involved. DEC has been doing this for decades now, where the youth are able to go out with a mentor, an adult licensed hunter, to get a first crack at the wild waterfowl before the season opens up for everybody else, which is not until the end of October. And it's just a nice way. It's a little warmer. Maybe the conditions are better for the kids to get out there and experience the hunting. And then I suggest, you know, taking it from the field to the table with the kids. Cleaning birds is a nice entry for youth to start hunting, and there's lots of kid-friendly recipes on the website as well. We am also involved with 4-H Shooting Sports, and we're creating a nice little pamphlet that connects shooting sports with the Wild Harvest Table, so there's information for kids on how to clean birds and how to prepare them in ways that they would think are tasty.
Now, I know there are some Canada geese that still migrate, and then there are others that kind of stay put. Can you tell the two apart? Is there a difference? Do the migratory ones, are they less fatty than the ones that just stay on the golf course and eat?
They can be, certainly, but they also can be quite chunky depending on where their feeding grounds are. There's an early goose season, which just ended, which is in September, and those typically are the resident geese, and that's probably why that season was even created, to try to keep those numbers in check. And then you'll probably notice out that the geese are starting to flock up now. So now we'll just start to get the migration coming through, which are the big flocks. And when they're local geese, they're smaller, you know, 20 birds or so.
Now, I know we've talked about going back to the aversion some people have to wild game meat. And I think that's, goose is one of those where people go, oh, it's fatty. And
right.
How do you get around? Because there is a fairly high fat content in geese. So what do you do preparation-wise to kind of mitigate that?
Right. There is quite a bit of fat, and that protects them in the cold waters. One thing I do suggest, especially with the resident geese that are maybe, you know, hanging out on the golf course or places where there's more potential for chemicals, is to not eat the meat, to skin the birds and just use the skinless breasts, because if there is any sort of chemical contaminants, it would be stored in the fat of the goose and not in the meat. So it's probably healthier to just take the breasts or the and skin them, and it's easier in terms of cleaning the birds. One thing that we have found through our research is that wild goose meat is a lot leaner than domestic goose. But it is a very strong flavor. It's a very dark red meat. So a lot of the recipes that are on there use braising and different ways to really sort of tenderize the meat and add a lot of flavor to sort of take a little bit of that gamey bite out.
Is there much difference in taste or preparation methods between goose and a duck?
A goose is a much bigger piece of meat, so it's going to, you know, with duck you can really sort of sear, pan fry, and have it at breakfast, which is delicious. But with a goose, it needs some different techniques to. Usually, longer cooking is better for goose.
Now, also beginning this week, actually this weekend, is archery season for deer in the area.
Yeah, it actually starts tomorrow, so that's exciting for a lot of archers out there. And so archery starts before the regular season to give people a chance to get out there in the quiet time in the woods and hopefully see some deer.
I know there's a lot of different things that you can do with deer meat. I've had it in steaks, and I've had it in burgers. Like you say, you mix in some stuff so it's not so lean. But what's a good way, I guess, for a first-time deer eater to prepare deer meat?
Oh, gosh, there's so many great things you could do. You know, venison meatballs, again, when we're talking Ooh. To kids, that's a great entry point into venison. It's great with chili. Anything with sort of a tomato-based sauce really adds some moisture and some good flavor to the venison meat. But venison, you know, it's... Again, it's a really nice lean meat. I know people who've done lots of different interesting sausages and charcuterie. You can even make prosciutto with venison.
Wow!
So there's lots of fun things you could do once you get into it.
And of course, wildharvesttable.com is a great place to go for those recipes. Is there any place in the country that allows wild game meat in supermarkets? And is there going to be any effort toward that at some point?
That, you know, that is a great question, and it's something that DEC and other agencies have been dealing with, because of course in some areas there's an overpopulation of deer. You know, a lot of people end up hitting them with their cars or have damage to their yards and things like that. So there just hasn't been a way figured out to regulate that. People are afraid, you know, 100 years ago there was market hunting that brought a lot of species
right.
to the brink of extinction. So I'm not sure where that's going to go at this point. The wild game belonged to the people, which is kind of a unique thing to the United States of America, that, you know, you get a permit and anybody can go out and collect a deer. There's public lands to do that. So at this point, it's tricky to say, well, if it belongs to everybody, how come some people can sell them? So
right.
it just hasn't been figured out yet.
I think there are some states that allow hunters to donate excess meat to food pantries.
Yes.
Is that allowed in New York?
It is. Absolutely
it is. Okay.
Is. Yep. There's the Venison Donation Coalition, and
okay.
there's a website for that, and hunters can go and see which butchers would accept the deer if they have more than they can eat.
All right, give us a sneak preview. Do you know what your next recipe coming up might be?
Well, I created a very delicious wild turkey in a can recipe, which is, if you think about like beer can chicken, it's
yeah.
a larger version of that with charcoal and cooks up really quick and really delicious.
All right, wildharvesttable.com. The goose or venison pasties are up there right now with a mouthwatering picture. Mo, thanks as always. It's good to talk about all these different facets of healthy eating that we cover in our discussions with you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
All right. Again, wildharvesttable.com, the website, 852 Finger Lakes Morning News.
CEO Radio, I'm Ray Hoffman. Growing up,